Wir loben dich, Herr.
Lord, we praise you.
Ja, dass du uns wecken möchtest.
That you want to wake us up.
Dass du es bist, der uns die Augen öffnet.
That you are the one who opens our eyes and shows us what is in your heart.
Sprich dein Wort zu uns heute Morgen.
Speak your word to us this morning.
Wir sind offen für dich. Wir wollen
alles open to you and we want to receive everything from you. Father, we ask that you give us more of your spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Ja. Vater. Amen. Ja. Wir haben ein wunderbares Thema an dieser Konferenz.
We have a wonderful topic at this conference.
Dieses Zitat, es soll durch meinen Geist geschehen.
This quote, it shall be done by my spirit.
So beeindruckend.
I'm so impressed by it.
Das ganze Bild, was dazugehört,
and the whole picture that belongs to the statement that God made,
das berührt mich immer wieder.
Touches me again and again.
Um der Zeit willen werde ich es jetzt nicht anmalen.
For the sake of time, I won't draw it at the board, at the whiteboard. But I think you can imagine that what it looks like, and that the Lord may show you.
Er sieht einen Leuchter.
Zechariah says he sees a lampstand of solid gold.
Darf ich euch fragen, was
may I ask you, what is this lampstand?
Dieser goldene Leuchter.
The golden lampstand.
Wenn wir das lesen,
when
also
we read this,
Offenbarung 1,
I first think
20,
of Revelation chapter 1, verse 20.
Dort steht,
where it says,
am Ende heißt es, ja, die sieben Sterne sind Boten der
the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches.
Hat sieben goldene Leuchter gesehen.
John also saw seven golden lampstands, and those were the built-up churches in each locality as a visible testimony that God had on this earth. A place where God is expressed. The gold shows the nature of God, His essence. And the shining shows that it shines in the darkness. The word is very clear that the whole world is in darkness and does not know God. It has distanced itself far away from God. But the Lord has set up the church, the built-up church in each locality, as a sign for people to see how God really is. That is how He's determined it. And at the time of Zechariah, this testimony was the house of God in Jerusalem. That was the picture of the build-up church in each locality in the New Testament. There we see one place and one house where His glory dwells, where the Lord dwells, where the people can see me. And at the time of Zechariah, this house was in the process of being built up again. Not too long ago we had a conference about that, that the building up was stopped, there were problems, there were enemies that were against it, that discouraged the people, and for several years they did not continue building. They at least didn't go back to Babylon, but they stopped building, they were not courageous to complete the building. And at that time, the Lord spoke to Haggai and Zechariah, where he encouraged them and he made clear that he wants his house to be built. He spoke to the prophets and he said, look what I'm doing. I'm doing a work and I'm not doing it by human power or ability. You might feel so weak and think your enemies are all too strong and there's no way and it's not working. But the Lord says, it does not happen by might or by power. I establish my testimony by my Spirit. By my Spirit it shall happen.
Der nächste Vers sagt, and be done. Großer Berg.
And the next verse says,
da gibt's kein Hindernis für den Geist.
Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, in verse 7 of Zechariah chapter 4. And in this picture that the Lord showed to Zechariah, he did not just show him a golden lampstand. That's oftentimes the only thing we see, but he shows him a whole installation that is required for the lampstand to function. And it is the whole installation that supplies this lampstand with oil. And this oil is a picture of the Spirit of God. It is His Spirit. These verses show so clear, Zechariah didn't really understand what the olive trees were doing and what the lamps were doing and the pipes that going to the lamps. And he said, what is this? And the angel said, did you not understand? Do you not know what these are? And he said, no, my Lord. And the Lord helped him. And he said, this is what it means, that it will happen by my Spirit. That is what it means, that it will be done by my Spirit. And this picture shows me how much we need the Spirit so that the lampstand can shine. When a lampstand does not have oil, it can stand perfectly fine, but there is no light. The only thing that makes it shine, the fuel is the Spirit, the oil. The oil, the Spirit, that is the fuel. And it's not enough to just put in oil onto the lampstand once and then it will burn until the Lord comes back. How often does it have to be refilled? In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, there was a similar lampstand. Every day it had to be refilled. Every day the oil was refilled. And in this picture we see, even in Zechariah, we see a constant supply. There are olive trees. That is the Lord Himself. That is His priestly ministry. And there's a bowl. I'm sure the Spirit is a big bowl, big vessel that is there, and there are multiple pipes. For each of the seven lamps, there are seven pipes. And you wonder what that is necessary for. One pipe should be good enough. I'm a mechanical engineer, and whenever we construct something, we try to construct it in the most simple way. The simple solution is often the best solution, and you try to rationalize, do you need one pipe or do you need seven pipes per lamp? And Hans Dieter, who is another engineer, is nodding. But the Lord does it differently. He supplies each lamp, not just with one pipe, but with seven pipes per lamp. That is almost 50 pipes for this one lampstand. What does that mean, may I ask you? What is this supposed to show us? The Lord needs a lot of vessels through whom He can flow. He needs many of these pipes. And each one of us is such a pipe for the Lord. Every one of us is a vessel through whom the Spirit that He supplies should flow. And the Lord does not have one, did not set one person that supplies each lamp. This trend, this tendency for us to think in this religious way, with one pastor who preaches the word and supplies the Spirit and everyone is just receiving, that is not God's way. That's a way of religion. Seven is a number of perfection. We all are set up. We all have received the Spirit to share Him for the benefit of all, for the building up of His body. And this picture shows that the goal and the the end goal of the Spirit, what is it? It's nice to experience the Spirit. It makes me free and makes me happy. And I enjoy the Spirit, and that's wonderful. It revives me. But the Spirit has a goal. The Spirit works for the lampstand. If we want to experience the Spirit in a rich way, we also need to give ourselves for the testimony of the Lord. Then we will also experience much of the flowing of the Spirit. If the testimony of the Lord on this earth is not important to us, or we are not interested in it, and we just want to experience the Spirit so we feel a little better, we have to discover that it won't flow as much. The Lord does not want to give much of His Spirit for that, but the Spirit is for the lampstand. The Spirit is for the testimony of the Lord on this earth. Do you see that? Lord Jesus, the Lord needs to wake us all up from our sleep, that we see that and that we have that revelation. I hope this will not just remain knowledge that we write down in our notebooks, and I almost never go back and read it, but what the Lord has written into my heart, that remains, and the Lord needs to write it onto our hearts, so that it's an impression that is lasting, and we give ourselves for this testimony. Lord, we want to be such vessels for the Spirit that supply the lampstand with the oil. And that's a picture that we see in Zechariah chapter 4. But this picture is really in the whole Scripture. Once we discover in every part of the Bible, you can see this picture, and the Lord has to show us this picture.
Wir haben ja zuletzt auch viel über den Römerbrief gesprochen, oder heute, gestern Abend.
We had much fellowship about Romans, chapter 8,
ein wunderbares Wort über den Geist geredet,
where there's a wonderful word about the Spirit, how the Spirit works, and how it makes us free from the law of sin and death, that we're now in a new realm.
Nicht mehr einfach nur
not just trying out of ourselves to keep a rule or doctrine, to be a religious, God-fearing person, but to live in a different realm. That is such a wonderful chapter. And it ends in being transformed into the image of the Son, and to really be transformed into that reality. Who wants that? Please have a show of hands. It's good to decide, Lord, I want to. But before Romans chapter 8, that's not how Romans begins, and there's also chapters after Romans chapter 8. It's also not what this epistle ends with. It's certainly a central part of the message, but it's there's something before and something after chapter 8. There's something for what this experience is good for. And the epistle to the Romans,
der Briefe im Neuen Testament, ja, weil ganz grundlegend
is not the first epistle in the New Testament by chance, because it shows very specifically what the Lord does. Paul at that time had not personally visited the saints in Rome yet, but he had a big burden to share the gospel with them, and he put it into this epistle.
Nachvollziehbar und auch verständlich beschrieben,
and he explained in a very clear and simple and easy to understand way how God reaches his goal. I don't have time to go through it in detail this morning,
aber ich möchte ein paar
But I want to point out a few aspects that you can go back to and read through in a deeper way, starting with chapter 1 of Romans. It shows us a very basic truth. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. It's a very basic truth that we have to realize. Now, none of us in ourselves is righteous before God, not one. We may think we are good people, maybe not as bad as some others, but God's judgment is different. He says there is no one that is righteous, not one. We have to realize that in ourselves we are unable, we are unfit to do anything for God, that we cannot trust in ourselves. Nothing of ourselves, not even our seemingly good humanity, is useful for God's work. Even the Jews are not useful for God. The Greek, which is us, the nations, we are not useful for God either. In ourselves, nobody has the preposition, the condition to be useful for what God wants to do with us people. And if we have this realization, then the Lord can start working in us. Then we give up and we ask the Lord, Lord, then how can you do it? And then in the next few chapters, the Lord shows so clearly that it is by faith. We don't do much, we just simply believe in what the Lord has done and accomplished, and we receive it. The word faith also means we receive. Whoever believes will receive. It's good to have that in our hearts, to carry that in our hearts. If I want something from God and I want to work with Him in His plan, the first thing I need to do is believe. When people came to Jesus, what should we do? To do God's work. What should we do? We are excited, we are very impressed by you, Lord. What can we do? How can we work with you? And he said, the first work that you need to do is that you believe in whom God has sent. By faith, we enter into Him. And this truth we have to hold fast. To exercise our faith is the first step. And by faith we receive the Spirit. In Romans chapter 5,
it
says, by faith we have access into this grace in which we stand. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. But it doesn't remain there. But in chapter 6, he shows another aspect. One point is to believe in the Lord and to receive the Spirit. What's the next step? To be baptized. Praise the Lord for the brother who took this step this morning. Hallelujah. I wasn't there myself, unfortunately. But there was also a sister that was baptized, so there are two baptisms this morning. In Romans chapter 6, Paul shows the baptism is an important step. It's not just what we receive, but we also put off something. We put off the old man. In baptism, our old man is buried and died. It is so useless for the Lord and always a hindrance for the working of the Lord. If the old man is not put aside, the Spirit that we have received cannot really develop. We have
alles in unserem Leben,
before our salvation,
in dem alten Menschen gelebt.
We used to just live in our old man.
Unser ganzes Denken ist alt.
And the old man took over every aspect of our life. Everything in us is old. Our feelings, our mind, everything we do is not useful for God. And now in spirit, he gives us a new life. He says, I give you a different life. And we think, oh, sure, I'll take that. I'll take that too. But there's not enough space for both. The old man has to go. Are you ready to let go of the old man? The old has to go. Everything that is not Christ has to go. Paul realized that and he considered it all dung. He says, gotten to know the Lord. My religious attitude, I throw it away. I want to live by the Spirit now. I want to grasp this life in its fullness. And I have not fully captured it. I want to fully capture it now.
Und das, was uns immer wieder hindert,
he wanted to
neue zu
really
ergreifen,
grasp it fully.
Dass wir das Alte nicht wirklich wegtun.
And our problem is we often do not put off the old completely. We still somehow treasure it a little bit, and it's still somehow precious to us. Some parts we put off, we put away, we realize that that wasn't good. But the Lord sometimes struggles to make us let go of everything that is of the old man. And that makes it really difficult for the Lord to go on with us, even though we have received the Spirit. And even when we are baptized, in the baptism we have received this new reality as a truth, but it has to be applied in a fresh way every day. Just like we have to apply the Spirit to eat and drink of the Spirit every day, we also have to apply it every day to put off the old man, to say no to the old man, to deny our old self. The Lord said, you have to deny yourself, otherwise you cannot follow me. If you live in yourself, you will realize it just does not work. It will hinder you to follow me. And that is also a truth that we have to discover. And Romans chapter 6 also says that.
Am Anfang zeigte, es ist eine Wahrheit, in der Taufe haben wir den alten Menschen.
In the beginning, he says, it is a truth that we have buried our old man in baptism. But in Romans 6, verse 12, he says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not give your members to sin, but give your members to God. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Here he shows this daily exercise that we need to do in a very conscious way. Lord, I give my body, my life, not to sin, but I give it to God. I want to follow him. And that is a step. Where it shows whom we obey. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. The question is, do I obey the sin in my dead, fallen body, which is still active there? Do I obey the sin or do I obey the Spirit that also is in me now, that also speaks to me to turn to the Lord, come to me, I want to do something with you, follow me in the new life that we have received?
doch ein bisschen Raum haben.
Or do we still leave room for our old life?
Heute mal das alte.
Maybe today we say, how about a day in the old life? That's not good. But sometimes that's how we are. We say, I exercise my spirit at the conference. I exercise it even more. It's more enjoyable with so many saints. I'll sing a song to the Lord. My heart is always filled. It's always an enjoyment. But there are also moments in my life where I realize it's not that simple. There's not so much the wind of the Spirit that takes me along like a storm. Sometimes it's just very soft and a very soft wind. And then there's a lot of resistance. But then the Lord calls me to turn and to obey Him. And in those moments, it matters. Whom do I give room? Which voice do I obey? Myself, that doesn't feel like turning to the Lord? One brother testified that. But there may be a situation. I appreciate that he was so honest. And I don't think there was anyone who's never experienced that. We all have that, get to that point where we just don't really want to come to the meeting or turn to the Lord. And there are resistances, there are enemies that try to prevent us from turning. And it's so good when in those situations we decide to still turn to the Lord, because I know that the end result is life, and we know that the end result of sin is death. And we have to discover that. That's such a basis to enter the experience of the Spirit. And in the beginning, as well as the end of Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 5, it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Romans 1, verse 5. And in Romans 16, in verse 26, it says, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith. That is the key. As I said, by faith we receive. And the obedience is our decision to allow the Spirit to work, to be effective in us. The faith is the upper end where we open up to above and receive from the Lord. And our decision to let the Spirit flow through us is like opening to the bottom to allow the Spirit to flow through those pipes to the lampstand. That is in the meeting, that is in our family life. In every situation, it is new. In every situation, we can develop this obedience to the faith. And then Paul shows another wonderful principle. It's not a legalistic obedience. It's a different obedience. It's easy to get that confused. There are a lot of people who are very obedient, who like to obey the law, who like to obey the letter, and fulfill exactly what the letter says. But we obey something different. We obey the Spirit. And because of that, Paul speaks in Romans chapter 7, verse 6.
Jetzt aber sind wir vom Gesetz gelöst,
but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Our obedience is not to a dead letter, but to the living Spirit. We have received a life that we want to follow, and that results in the fruit of the Spirit. If we just follow the law, we will end up in death. Then we will not get out of this laboratory glass that we saw yesterday. But when we follow the Lord in faith and we trust the Spirit in us, that's not just a weak law, but it's a following in trust and in faith in our life. And we will realize it will work life in us.
Und dann ganz kurz, da gehe ich jetzt erstmal nicht so viel drauf ein. Auch der Römerbrief zeigt, wenn wir dann den Geist so erfahren,
and then when we experience the Spirit in such a way, it results in the building up of his body.
Kapitel 9, in 11, wo es nochmal um das Volk Israel geht,
Romans 9, verse 11, he talks again about the people of Israel, how God dealt with them. But then the last few chapters in Romans, it shows that it's not for just my personal experience, but all the gifts of the Spirit are there to be for the body to be built up. Here also you see this picture so clearly. Lord, let us all see this picture. Lord Jesus. The obedience of the faith has become very important to me. And there's another picture in the Word where we can also see that, and that's in the experience of the people of Israel. I briefly want to draw the map of where the people of Israel went.
Ist nicht ganz maßstäblich, aber im groben
Pass einigermaßen. It's not a perfect drawing in the perfect relations, but it's supposed to be a map of Egypt and the good land.
Hier ist Ägypten.
This is Egypt, this is the desert, and over here is the good land that God has promised.
Und wir wissen, der Herr hat sein Volk aus Ägypten, der Sklaverei, ich würde sagen, der Welt herausgebracht.
And we know that God has saved his people from the world before our salvation. And that picture is so glorious, so on point. That's when you know that the Bible is God's word, because no man can think of such a picture like how the Lord describes the exodus of the people of Israel, one to one, what way he has for us unto salvation in the New Testament. From Egypt, the Lord led his people through the Red Sea. And what's the Red Sea a picture of? The baptism. That's very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. They were baptized in the sea, in the Red Sea, which is a picture of our Lord. That's the step of baptism. Praise the Lord for all those who took this step that takes us out of the kingdom of Satan. We follow the Lord. That has to be the beginning. But this picture also shows further steps. From that point on, the people of Israel were not immediately in the good land. The Lord promised them that he will bring them to a country that where milk and honey flow. And with that promise, they left Egypt. But they had to realize that there's an experience where they ended up in the desert. Where's the milk? Where's the honey? There's not even water here. It was a first experience in the desert right after the baptism. And I also want to tell the saints who took the step this morning, 3 days after the baptism, 3 days in the desert, they did not find water. That can be frustrating. You think you follow the Lord, you're euphorious, you're full of energy, and you're on to the good land, but then the Lord brings you to a desert where there's not even water. And for 3 days you have nothing to drink, and then there's all of a sudden nothing, and you think, well, what is this? Are we going to die of thirst now? Why does God do something like that? I believe it's an experience that we've all made in our Christian life, that God brings us into this experience of the desert, where we are really being tested, where we may say to ourselves, oh, maybe I'll turn around and just go back to Egypt. Maybe I'm not so sure that it was a good decision to go with the Lord. It seems I'm seemingly worse off now with the Lord than before. That was a test by the Lord. And why did the Lord do that? The Lord wanted to work this obedience of the faith. They had to learn through this situation. Through this situation, they had to learn that the right attitude is not just to complain and to rebel, but they had to learn to gain trust into the living God that they were following. We don't have our own way anymore. Lord, which way do you have? Where are you, Lord? I need you now, Lord. That was the solution. Moses had such trust towards God. Everyone was complaining, and Moses came to the Lord and said, Lord, what do we do now? And God always showed him a solution. At the water of Marah, where the water was bitter, and he put a piece of wood in there, and the water became sweet. And he did exactly what God told him.
I'm
sure Moses didn't imagine how that would work either, but he was faithful and put the wood into the water, and it gave life, and everyone was supplied. And that is a step that we have to all learn. The story in the desert shows that it can take us a long time until we get it. That's the sad part. The people of Israel was circling in the desert many, many times. And in Hebrews, the Lord said, 40 years I've shown them my works, and they have not recognized me. Their heart is still running around and still complaining.
And
then they complain that they've eaten the manna for so long, we want to go back to Egypt. That's the sad part. It can't be that our whole Christian life is like that. We really have to come before the Lord and ask Him to help us. I want to exercise the spirit of faith. I don't just want to be stuck in the desert experience. I want to learn to gain you by faith and exercise this obedience, because that is what brings us into the good land. In the desert, it was all a matter of unbelief and disobedience. That's what dominated the people of Israel. And when they came to the good land, they really had this obedience of faith.
Das sieht man bei der Einnahme des Landes. Sie folgen dem, was der Herr sagt, sie machen.
when the Lord brought them into the good land, they did what the Lord told them. They walked around Jericho 7 times, and he said, "You be silent, just watch what the Lord can do." And the walls fell down, and they take over that land, and God's plan is being fulfilled. But there is a point in our Christian life where we are being freed from this disobedience. I have to testify, there was a very specific point in my life where I realized I really gave the Lord my heart and was so ready to say, "Lord, I fully trust you now." We all have the experience where we follow him, we experience him, we eat and drink him, and we gain experiences with him. But in my heart, for a long time, there was still something that held me back, where I didn't trust to the last bit. And it was more like, I follow the Lord to a certain degree, but if you don't do this or that, I'll be upset with you. I can tell you exactly what it was. I'll just share it with you this morning. I had a desire to go abroad for about half a year or so. That was an idea of mine that was really important to me, to see something different, see the world. And I was a little bit concerned that the Lord might not want that. And I prayed about it. And at the same time, I felt like, well, Lord, you have to give that to me. I deserve it. Others have done it. Why not me also?
Interessant war auch in dieser,
and it was interesting. I wanted to go to a place where there was a church, but that all didn't work out. Then I thought, oh, well, then I'll just go somewhere where there's no church. Somewhere in the middle of America. In an area where I was 3 hours away from the church life, another church life. Not very good for a practical church life. And I really wanted it so badly. And then I prayed, and the Lord did not answer me. To all my prayers, there was just silence. And then I asked the Lord, "Lord, why don't you answer me? Should I go there now or not?" And the Lord said, "Well, you already decided. What should I say to you? You want to go. And if I tell you something different, then you'll just be upset. And why can I not go now?" You'll say to me. "Then why should I say anything to you? I don't want you to be upset with me," the Lord told me. "Then just go." And that really opened my eyes. I have my own ways. Even though, and there's so many things that I've not really entrusted to the Lord. When there's a point that goes against my will, then I rebel. And then I complain and I say no, and why, and why not? And then I cannot follow the Lord anymore. And I realize that there was something in me that was resisting the Lord so much. And I realized, why am I actually doing that? And it became clear to me, is that so much more precious than following the Lord? If I choose my own ways, does that get me any further than if I follow the Lord? Can I not just trust the Lord? Have I not experienced enough of the Lord that I can say, I can just trust you and it will be good? Even if it is against my preference and my wishes, Can I still say amen?
And
it came clear to me, Daniel, you have to make a decision. What do you actually want? And at that point, I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to go your way. I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be on the throne with you at the end. I want to reign with you. I don't want to miss that. Do guide me and lead me into the good land. And everything else will be done. What else am I holding on to? When I could say that to the Lord like that, a knot was released in my Christian life. I was released from myself. Myself became so irrelevant to me. I don't want to listen to myself anymore, but I want to obey the Lord, and I want to obey Him fully. And at that point, it was like I went through the Jordan. It was such an experience of walking through the Jordan. My old was just finished, and I decided to just go on with the Lord. And whatever comes my way, we will take over. And I really have to say to all of you, from that point on, I experienced the Spirit in a very different way. From that point on, the leading of the Spirit, the leading of the Lord was a daily experience for me. The Spirit was released. And I realized, now I'm suddenly useful to the Lord, and the Lord can show me things. And I enter into the good land. We are not experiencing just the desert anymore, but we are now with the Lord and we fulfill His plan. And just came automatically because we are ready for the Lord, and we all need this step. Nobody can take this step for you. Nobody can tell you how to do it. But the Lord wants to lead us to that point. But the good thing is, the Lord doesn't leave us either. He goes with us until that point, until the last rebel had died in the desert. And in us also, the last bastion from the enemy has to fall until the Lord can take us into the good land.
Yeah, amen.
Then we really experience, gain the rich experience of Romans chapter 8 and the freedom of the Spirit and this glory. Lord Jesus, and I want to refer to point C in the outline, this walking in the Spirit is not following a law, but a living God, living Lord and Spirit in us. And that makes it sometimes a bit more difficult. With a law, it's simple what I should do. You can describe it in an outward way, very simple, very straightforward. You can just say, you should not steal, and we make our own laws. You should come to every meeting, you should read the word every morning, do morning watch, you should do this, do that. We have so many laws. I'm not saying that's bad, but it is something different from following the Spirit. I can also tell you, from that point on, when I decided to follow the Lord could also show me how much I had just followed a law until that point. Back then I thought I have to pray at least for 1 hour before I go to bed every night. And I fell asleep on my knees sometimes. But the Lord touched me and said, go sleep. Pray. While I was praying, the Lord spoke to me and said, go sleep now. And I was obedient at that point and went to sleep.
Yeah.
Sometimes the Lord also says, "You should now you should pray." But my religious attitude, I felt I was never doing enough for the Lord. I'm not committed enough, not consecrated enough, and I just need to do more and more and more for the Lord, which the Lord didn't want. But what the Lord wanted from me was that I obey Him, and that that freedom is there, that I do what He tells me to do. And then He showed me some things that you do for me, I don't even want them. I also want you to have some rest for your body, because tomorrow I still need you. Or sometimes at work the Lord speaks to me, it's enough now, go home. I think I have so much left to do, and I want to be a good worker, but then I also have to listen to the Lord, and so that I have enough energy and capacity for the meeting in the evening, so that I'm not just sitting in the meeting and I'm physically so exhausted that I can't really follow along. These are so many examples that a law cannot teach us, but the Spirit can teach us, and the Spirit wants to teach us these things. And when we give Him this freedom, it makes us so well, it makes us healthy, and the result is life and peace. The result is not just a religious, cramped up Christian life, not under the law as in Romans chapter 7, but we are enjoying a freedom. And even in Romans chapter 8, we still have to obey, but the result is life and peace. Romans chapter 8 verse 6 says, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Another example. I now have a wife and two children. And that limits me in different ways. And sometimes I have to decide, should I go to the meeting or should I still help my wife with the children at home? Or how do we do it? What's more important right now? My law says, go to the meeting. Or another one may have another law and say, oh, family is priority. I always stay at home. My wife and my children is the most important, not the prayer meeting. I stay with my family. But neither one is right. We have to know the Spirit. Sometimes I need to go to the meeting, and sometimes the Spirit says, you know, stay and help your wife. And we have to learn that, and we can recognize the right way and the way of the Spirit from the result. If there's life and peace as a result, it is of the Spirit. Sometimes if I hadn't stayed at home, it would have been a catastrophe, and it was really important that I stayed home that night. And then I know that, Amen, Lord, that was from you. And then another time I stay at home and there's no rest and you're just doing something and the time is wasted, and I feel, oh, I really could have gone to the meeting that night. And I realize I wasn't listening to the Spirit. We all make mistakes. We still need to learn more to follow the Spirit. But let us pay attention whether there's life and peace, and be healthy and trust in the Lord. And don't be afraid to make a mistake. There are many more prayer meetings. Just exercise for the next time to listen to the Spirit and to learn to pay attention to the Spirit. The Spirit does not always speak in such a direct way. Sometimes there's a thought and the Spirit very specifically says, that is not from me. And that is also wonderful. We have to be sensitive to the situation, how something's developing. What does my brother say? What does my sister say? What does my wife say? Life and peace is not just for me personally. It has to be life and peace for the church, for the building, within the family. There should be life and peace as a result. And if we're just spiritual and just me and the Lord, and if I have peace, then everything is fine.
Das ist nicht gut.
That's not good.
Wir müssen auch achten, wie
we have to pay attention to the peace in our neighbor. Is there peace
das
for the building? That is also the
der Geist
Spirit.
Wird manche Dinge dir gar nicht
and the
sagen,
Spirit will sometimes
lernst,
not tell you everything so that you learn to pay attention to the
sagen,
saints.
Du musst hören
he will teach you to learn to listen and to be sensitive
ja,
to the other saints.
Ist es gar nicht so einfach,
and
ja, ich muss
because
sagen,
of that, it's not that simple. We exercise and we learn, but the first condition is our willingness, our
und oft wir sogar
willingness
sagen, es ist, dass der Herr gar nicht
to
von Anfang
listen
an
to the
sagt,
Spirit.
Ja, so wird der Tag,
sometimes the Lord doesn't outline the whole day what we need to do, but in a situation the Lord sometimes reacts, and I have to be flexible and willing to turn, not to stick to what I thought was right, but I need that flexibility to follow the Spirit. It's so important so that we don't miss the Lord.
Herr Jesus, lobe den Herrn.
Praise the Lord.
Ja, lass uns das einfach üben und in der Wirklichkeit
let us
leben.
Amen. Practice that and be exercised and live in this reality. Amen.